You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Division, Jacksonville, North Carolina, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. It's a little bit different, I'm not going to lie to you, but it's been awesome. Yesterday was kind of rough, though, I'm not going to lie to you. Could not get on the air. Gunner and I drove through the night, made a couple stops, hung out in the gas station for a while, talking to some cops. Spreading the gospel.
Welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. Yeah. We can't even slow.
So, welcome on a Thursday, All Marine Radio, live from Jacksonville, North Carolina. So, good morning to you. I hope you're all having a good morning wherever you are. Thanks for listening to All Marine Radio, Expeditionary Edition. And whenever you're expeditionary, shit happens. You have to deal with it. So. Anyway, good morning. Yeah, left on, what's today, Thursday? So left Monday morning. Got to Mike's. Had a party at Mike's house. And then had to do the show that went on Tuesday. Then we got up and left. And we drove all day Tuesday, all night Tuesday night, and then got here yesterday morning, and then passed out. And then last night, met some friends, and some friends of Mike's, actually, and then saw some of our Afghanistan buddies who are still on active duty, just by accident. So saw them, and then found out that we weren't invited to a party at General Furness's house. So...
I'm not invited to that party. And then one of them said, it might be an active duty thing. And we're like, all right, we got it. We're not on active duty anymore, so maybe it is.
So then my boy F-18 guy shows up, so he rolls in, and so fired up to see him. And then we're headed for a bar to have a drink with a friend of Mike's who just got back from Okinawa, and he and his wife. So, and then we're in the parking lot and we get this text. Hey, General says you guys are invited. Come. We're like, oh, now we're going to play this game. So do you think this act of aggression is going to go unchecked? So, yeah. So then, so we had a drink, and then, we went over to, the future commanding general of the second Marine Division's home. And let me tell you, they live pretty nice. And a beautiful night. I don't know what river that is, New Bern River or something like that. But anyway, right on the water and in the backyard. So, and then more of our friends. And then Dave Furness's family. Met his mom for the first time, I think. I've ever met her. His brother's a lobbyist. So at some point, we'll get him on the radio to talk about, are you guys really that bad? So that was fun.
And then almost like a gift from heaven, Dave Furness and one other, General Furness and one other guy, who's now a lieutenant colonel, are like, they were Ohio State maniacs. So, like, I'm bombing through the day yesterday, and all of a sudden get this AP News alert, and it says Ohio State has placed Urban Meyer on administrative leave pending an inquiry into events surrounding ultimately the termination of an assistant coach, but how long did he know what he knew, and ultimately what did he do relative to? I think it's a domestic violence incident. But see, I didn't really care about the facts of the case. So the facts, I don't really care about. Ohio State will figure it out. What I did care about is this is causing them incredible anxiety. So it was like a little gift that just falls in your lap. So we're in the party, blah, 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 talking. Hey, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Oh, anybody see anything interesting in the sports news? And they were like, oh, that's right. Oh, so we got another Penn State going on there. Oh, we're not Penn State. It was awesome, to say the least. It was awesome. So, my friends and I talk, and I said it before on the air, but being around guys like this that you know so well and you've served with, it's like an old pair of leather shoes or like an old catcher's mitt. It just goes on your hand. It's broken in, and it feels comfortable whenever you put it on. For you women out there, it might be like an old leather skirt that's not too tight. It just goes on, and it's perfect. So, I don't know if that's a very good analogy, but no, it's awesome to be here, and the change of command will go this evening, and get a chance to hang out with more friends that are flying in from all over the country. California, another Napa man's flying in from, he's up in Minnesota on vacation with his family, took time out. So no, it's awesome to see all of our friends come from such a great distance, and then we have more friends coming down from Washington, D.C. Be awesome to see them. Would be remiss if I didn't say congratulations to a Battle Buddy Times 2. He's been selected to be the next commanding officer of the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit, MEU, Colonel Chris Bromsey. So congratulations to him. He is he's a great guy, and got a great family, and so he'll take command of that, I don't know, at some point here in the next year, and you cannot find a better guy. And I'll tell you what, he's an American war hero. He led the Golf Company, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines in 2004 when they fought in Ramadi, and it was before we had refined the way we shoot supporting arms and the way we apply air in close places. We didn't know how to do that very well. And so, they did a World War II style, man. They, gunners here. And, So Chris Bronzy and his Marines, they got it on there. So congratulations to him. And, so tell you what we're going to do today. We'll go over the news, tell you a little bit about the trip. And then we'll, F-18 guy's here. So we're going to talk to him, and, so we'll get it going here. So, with all that said, and I got a couple observations about, the Marine Corps. Yeah. Just got back from the gym. F-18 guy. Fighter pilots, they have to stay in bikini shape. So F-18 guy and I got up early and we went to the gym. But a couple of observations about Camp Lejeune and the gym. So, got that for you. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official today. Good morning to you. We'll be right back.
This is dedicated to Major General David J. Furness. He's a great friend of the program, but tonight at about 7 o'clock, the change of command for the 2nd Marine Division will start. Dave's a great friend of the program, and so I've never dedicated this to him before, but all the best of luck to him and the 2nd Marine Division. So I think as battle buddies of his and guys who served with him and under him, wish him nothing but the best, and he's a good one. So good luck to him, and this is dedicated to him and the 2nd Marine Division. All right, that's the wrong song. So how about this one?
Betraying your whole life, you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident. Thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it, and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather, except that I can't find out how to sign in to my weather page. Yeah, weather.com. How do you sign into it? I don't know. There's got to be some place where you sign into it, but everything I click on doesn't say sign in. Upper right-hand corner of the page? Yeah. You would think.
And it's like, I'm not stupid, right? So, but I can tell you this. In Jacksonville, North Carolina today. Yeah, I don't know. I can't figure it out. I'm too stupid. Currently 83 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Feels like 92. Looking for a high of 84. I'll tell you this, though. It's a little bit gooey out there. Humidity sitting at 83%. I don't know what the dew point is, but that's at 77%. The bug factor, there's a lot of bugs here. Yep, they like the humidity, in case you don't know. If you don't live around bugs and humidity, it's probably not a bad thing. So we will, we're going to take a quick break. No, let me give you my observations about Camp Lejeune. Camp Lejeune, first of all, they've improved the base a ton. Yeah. Yeah, the base, you know, looks a lot nice. I was last here in 1991, I think. Yeah. And it was beat. It was a lot of, you know, old construction. And, you know, Marine Corps tries to keep it up the best you can, but at some point that's a losing battle. But now, wow, new gates, almost like a freeway on the base. Yeah. Getting towards where everybody works. And so, yeah, pretty impressive. And then Marine Corps has built a lot of new barracks, and Camp Lejeune, obviously a recipient of some of that. So, yeah, so good for them about that. And then after that, you have I'll tell you, here's one other observation from the gym. Have been in a Marine Corps gym at a on a base since women started going in the grunts, okay, going in combat arms. I will tell you this. The women that I saw in the gym don't work out like they used to. They're not doing girl workouts anymore. They're doing guy workouts. Yeah, pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. So, yeah, in the gym, it was a little interesting thing to watch. So, anyway, little bit of an aside. All right, so sit back, relax, enjoy the morning. Thanks for, thanks for making All Marine Radio part of your morning this morning. Good morning to you.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends, These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Take a seat, rattle the desk, sat on the stairs, say or leave. The cabinets are bare, and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive, I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer, why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over, I can't just let you go. Oh baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing mine just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle.
Yeah, why don't you meet me in the middle? Because you don't even know where the middle is, man. You think the middle is like 90% of the way towards you? That ain't the middle. Look, hey, it's not my first rodeo. And don't even go with that pull me closer stuff. I know that game, man. I know that little act of tyranny. Playing me for a chump? Mm-hmm. All right. -81 degrees. Headed for 93. Sunny skies. Gonna rain afternoon today. So maybe we'll go to plan B. Maybe we'll be the backup plan indoors someplace. That'll be interesting. All right. Time to check news headlines here. All Marine Radio, broadcasting on Jacksonville, North Carolina. See, look at how nice she sounds. Why don't you meet me in the middle? Because you've already lost your mind.
In the middle.
Yeah, if you knew where the middle was, you'd find me already there. Yeah. Anyway, good morning to you. I was trying to think. There was one national story that wanted the president telling Jeff Sessions, end it now. That's probably not going to happen. Okay, that's... I don't want to, I'm not that good at reading the future, but I'm not stupid, okay? So, the other kind of interesting thing is, NFL, after all this time, still can't figure out the national anthem, okay? And I thought, so every team had to, put in what their policy was going to be, blah, 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 blah. And what happens? Some owners say, essentially, I don't care what they do. I'm not going to fine them. And if they are fined, I'll pay the fine. You got the owners of the Dallas Cowboys that say, hey, look, when you put that star on, this is what we expect. And we're not having any of it. And then the response to that is, oh, you're a bully. And so, again, the question becomes, how much of your political point of view do you get to bring to work when you're getting paid by your employer? NFL players think that, yeah, look, that's, what do you mean I'm working for him? I'm not working for him. I'm the man, you know. That's what you hear. Anyway, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, there's some interesting audio out about him talking about this issue. And so I'll play it for you here in a second. But he took a pretty, you know, adamant stand on it, relative to, you know, how he thought it was the inappropriate for him to be doing that. And again, you know, when we've talked about this in the past, it's like, look, you guys get covered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, what are you trying to do? And then get after it. There's all kind and hold on. Here he is. Well, at least I thought it was going to be him. Hold on. Hold on. Everybody stay in your seats. I'll get it to work. Maybe. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. All right. So here he is. His name's Dak Prescott. Again, he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, which is a big deal. Okay, not gonna lie to you. Even though I don't like the Cowboys, it's a big deal.
Social media backlash, and you it bother you? No, I mean I see it. Obviously, I'm not oblivious. I mean, you get on social media, you see it. But no, it doesn't bother me. This part of it. I said what I said. You know, everybody else has an opinion, so they're entitled to it as well. But, you know, you're not going back to anybody. Just accepting that and just trying to move on.
Yeah, exactly that. I'm accepting what they say, respecting their feelings. They should respect mine. I mean, I think there's a little bit of misunderstanding in the fact of what I believe in. I never said I didn't believe in the social injustice and things that's going on. I just said I didn't think the national anthem was the time. I mean, it's 2 minutes out of our day that we could also be spending just embracing what our country should be or what our country is going to be one day that we know. Obviously, that is not right now, and that's the sad part about it, that it's not. And so I understand, I respect everybody, and as I said, power to the people that kneel. I mean, that's what they believe in, and they should be able to kneel. But as I said, for me, the game of football has always been such a piece, and that's a moment for me to just be at peace and think about the country, think about all the great things our country has, even though we do know it's not a good time.
People are taking offense to the working part, like, you know, you're saying that it's just action and nobody's working.
I definitely didn't mean it by that. I said I'm for the action. I'm for joining Malcolm, joining those guys, and doing something different. I mean, that's what I meant by my part about taking that next step rather than just kneeling or standing. I said I don't think kneeling or standing is creating a solution for us.
I don't think kneeling or standing is creating a solution. So, and then there's an article in USA Today. Their above the fold article about the NFL, and it's just amazing. They've had their whole off season to get on the same sheet of music, and they're not going to do it. Which means I'm not going to be able to watch the 49ers, which is pissing me off because I want to, because they're going to be good. They're not going to suck this year. Headline: NFL not in tune on the anthem. Quote: You're left with owners sniping at each other. Players and owners sniping, and the president using this and them for political fodder, unquote. Dan McGinn, crisis communications executive. Yeah, well, maybe they should hire McGinn. The Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens will play in the Pro Football Hall of Fame game on Thursday, that would be tonight, in Canton, Ohio. It's the NFL's first exhibition game and the first national anthem of 2018. And it marks the start of a third year of bombs bursting in air in a three-way dispute among NFL owners, players, and President Donald Trump. So, again, it's amazing that the owners cannot sit down with their players and reach some kind of middle ground that says, hey, look, on Sunday, we're selling a product. Right? We have press conferences on Tuesday. We will be more than happy to focus on the issues you want us to focus on. But on this, This is the public when we bring our product to the public, and we're hurting it. If you by any measure in which you look at the product, we're hurting the product. So we got to stop doing that. Everybody got it? Anybody got an issue with it? And after they have not been able to do it. And the stupidest part is the league said we'll give $90 million to this social justice fund to the players. So you're gonna support financially the social justice causes, and you can't get back from them a concession that we won't use the national anthem, but we can use our press conferences, we can talk before and after practice about it, and nobody cares. And the answer to that is no. No. Cannot do that. So we'll see. The NFL. And again, I don't know who you lay that at the feet of, but the commissioner of the NFL, I think, what was his, he just got a salary of, what, $50 million a year? And you can't solve the key problem of your organization? That's stupid. Anyway, some Marine news. Former Marine recruit sues boot camp meat provider after alleged kidney failure and epilepsy. A former recruit is seeking $500,000 in damages for allegedly contracting the syndrome that wrecked his military career. So we'll follow that. The military doesn't buy, I don't think they buy top grade beef. All right. In fact, I remember once, saw the designation for beef as 4D, as in 4 Delta. Okay. And I thought, well, what is that? What is that? So I looked it up. Okay. And so I read the definition. I'll read the definition to you. All right. So if you do a search on, if you Google 4D beef, all right, this is what you'll find. The use of 3D and 4D meats in the dog racing industry, dogs used in racing, usually greyhounds, are fed a 4D-based diet for economic reasons, although even the USD states that 4D meat served raw is a health hazard to humans who handle it and animals that consume it. So what is 4D? All right. 4D stands for diseased, down, dying, and something else. And then the last paragraph said, the pet industry and the military are the two largest purchasers of 4D meat. What? Exactly. What? All right, 4D meat. Meat from animals which are dead, diseased, dying, or have been destroyed. Okay? Usually salvaged for rendering in animal food. The military. Nice. Yeah. So, yeah. 4D meat. So, anyway, he's suing about it. If he wins, maybe we'll all have a case to make. Marine with alleged neo-Nazi connections booted from the Marine Corps. Let me give all you young there some advice. Okay, if you're going to affiliate yourself with an organization, try to stay away from the whole Nazi thing. Yeah, so I'm not going to have to live your life, but if you get tagged as a Nazi, that's normally not a good thing. Okay, it's first of all, it's a bad look, and then, you know, like, yeah, avowed Nazi. So you don't want that. So, again, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but stay away from that. Anyway, here's the story. Lance Corporal Vasilios M. Pistolas, a Marine allegedly to have connections with a violent neo-Nazi organization was booted from the Marine Corps on July 11th, according to Major Brian Block, a Marine Corps spokesman. In June, Pistolis was sentenced before a military court to 28 days confinement, reduction in rank to E1, forfeiture of two-thirds pay for 1 month, following an explosive report exposing the Marine connection to a neo-Nazi group, Adam Waffen Division, and his violent participation in the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, in August of 2017. So he was part of the idiots that showed up there, right, that we all watched on TV. But we didn't know, okay? We didn't know. We thought they were people that were protesting. It wasn't that. And then on the other side, you had the Antifa crowd. So, and then we watch it like, what is going on there? Well, these two groups of idiots decided they were going to fight there. Yeah, they were going to fight there. So there you have it. Officially, the Department of Defense has exempted wounded warriors from deploy or get out. Okay, so this was one of the things up when the DOD kind of went back and looked at all their stuff and said, "Hey, we need to look at who gets to stay, who gets to go." And the Secretary of Defense says, "You've got to be able to deploy. If you're non-deployable for more than 12 months, we're going to look to separate you." And let me tell you, there's people who make careers out of non-deploying and chronic injuries. And then when they get close to deploying, then they bag out of it and they say they're going to get out of the Marine Corps. And lo and behold, you show up and guess what? They're still here. I thought you were getting out because you couldn't deploy. Well, you know, they sent me to here and then I started doing this and so I stayed in. Until it comes time to deploy again. So then we do it again. Service members wounded in combat. Okay. Not sick, lame, and crazy. Service members wounded in combat will be exempt from the DOD's new policy to be deployable in 12 months or face separation from the military, the Pentagon announced this week. The policy tweak came after criticism that DOD was going to remove personnel who were in a non-deployable status for more than 12 months. So, anyway, as expected, Secretary Mattis, pretty easy thing to take care of. There's a story yesterday in Marine Corps Times and talked about not being able to be an infantryman in your first enlistment. Yeah. That you would have to complete your first enlistment successfully before you could apply to be a grunt. How about that? What would it mean for the grunts? Older, wiser? Can do that? We have enough bodies to do it? So kind of interesting article written, and there's been much discussion about the career paths of infantrymen, how much time they spend in their MOS as they get promoted and then go off and do other things in the Marine Corps, like recruiting, like the drill field, and all the things that Marines tend to do in B billets. So older, wiser, more seasoned, deadlier. There's a controversial idea taking root at the Pentagon, that Marines should wait an enlistment before joining the infantry, coming into traditional rifle squads only after getting some experience in another career field. It would be a profound change that would make Marine infantry units older, but potentially stacked with additional skill sets. It would also further blur the line between conventional infantry Marines and a special operator as they'd be plucked from the same pool. Whether the 18-year-old Marine grunt model can continue to compete on the future battlefield is a question being scrutinized at the top levels of the DOD among top officials close to Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis, who is himself a former Marine infantry commander. One such man leading the charge is retired general who chairs Mattis's Pentagon Task Force focused on boosting lethality of grunts. His name is retired Army Major General Robert Scales. Quote, "The optimal age for a close combat soldier is mid to late 20s. So you know, again, not certainly not the model that the Marine Corps has lived by forever, but that's how, you know, our special forces units take guys. You go, you're in your initial enlistment, probably towards the end of it. You apply, you go through the testing. And so they know they have somebody who's adjusted to military life, who's normally excelled in whatever their job is, and is now looking to go do other things. Scales admits right now that it might be a bridge too far. Marines are deeply wedded to young Marines, to the 18-year-old. Significant focus is being placed on the human dimensions. We're evaluating and implementing improvements in how we recruit, train, and retain our infantry Marines. So it's an interesting concept, you know. It's an interesting concept, but the question is, can you do it? Can you sustain it? Can you support it? So anyway, interesting article in Marine Corps Times. The before we check out the early bird. Somebody sent me an email about this. Hey Mac, any idea in terms of identifying remains? How they're going to do it? That whole thing has made a ton of progress, but you know, a lot of times there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that goes with somebody's remains, and I don't know if did the North Koreans provide that? Is there a data sheet that goes with this set of remains initially found here, right? Or does your enemy treat the remains, you know, with the same kind of dignity? Normally, the answer to that is no. So was it preserved in a pristine way? Normally, the answer to that is no. So do you think they just took what they had and put it in a casket? Probably. And then you're going to have to do DNA tests on that and then how do you begin to look for matches? You have a data pool of the 6,000 or so. I think that the Americans that are still unaccounted for in North Korea, do you ask for that? And then you begin to scan that data pool. Yeah, I don't rightly know. So anyway, but it's an interesting subject. So a guy named, what's this guy's name? The return of these remains is a very exciting breakthrough and a wonderful step that we've been working towards for a long time, said P. Willey, a forensic anthropologist who has worked closely with the Department of Defense, POW MIA accounting agency. But there's still a lot of work ahead. So the ceremony and the fanfare, Willie goes on, under the best case scenario, the work could yield identifications in early 2019. If technicians run into problems, the work could stretch into the 2020s. And then he goes on to say, quick IDs will take months. Willie, a professor emeritus at California State University, Chico. Chico's known as the number one party school in the nation, or it was years ago when Playboy used to rate schools. I'm sure they probably do. He acted as a consultant to the military in the mid-90s when 200-plus sets of remains were handed over by North Korean officials. So he would be the one who'd have the expertise. And then the cool part is that obviously our tools to do that kind of work have gotten much better. Willie, a professor emeritus at California State University, Chico, went on to say, quote, since then the extent of what we've learned about DNA and DNA extraction has improved tremendously, he said, which leads him to be hopeful that the process will be faster than his last experience. Military officials said in an initial forensic analysis suggest that the remains likely belong to American service members. But for now, it remains unclear whether the remains in each box came from a single person or several individuals. If forensics experts find single sets of well-preserved bones, they could begin DNA matching work within a few days. And again, I talked about the circumstances. So, for instance, in Vietnam, where most of this work has been done because we haven't been able to do it in North Korea, But you find they still find remains in South Korea, and they go through this process. But anyway, what happens is not only do you find the remains of somebody, but you'll find dog tags. You find different things to the parts of boots, you know, and they tell you things about it. These boots were worn by guys in were they worn by aviators? This rubber sole belongs to an aviation boot. Okay, so all those pieces of circumstantial evidence, and obviously the dog tags are metal, and if they're there, then obviously you've kind of hit the jack. Or again, that's another piece of circumstantial evidence. So anyway, I just talked about the database. So how do you actually identify them? U.S. defense officials have said that approximately 5,300 Korean War casualties believed to be missing in North Korea. About 91% of them have family reference samples on file already. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. In recent days, the Veterans of Foreign Wars and other advocacy groups have made a public push to gather even more. Willie said that the database already presents a formidable resource in identifying the remains. DPAA officials will work closely with staffs at the Armed Forces National DNA Identification Laboratory in Delaware to verify the findings and hopefully produce quick results. But even if the work moves slowly, researchers still face months of additional verification work, exploratory reports, and the approval from their chain of command before any results are announced. What we saw right after the Vietnam War was some work that was done outside the bounds of science, and as a result, we had misidentifications. So I hope people understand that this takes time. And I think without a doubt, people do. But again, if you had somebody in your family killed in the Korean War, certainly an incredible week in which, this story comes to light. This is a bad story, but I don't think Marines think it's bad, okay? Headline, one service leads all other in numbers of sex partners and binge drinking. That's right. That would be the Marine Corps. Now, the question is that going to be a recruiter posting? A recruiter poster anytime soon? Probably not, but a recently released study by the RAND Corporation shined a light on one service propensity for promiscuous sex. The Health-Related Behavior Survey, which collected data over parts of 2015 and 2016, found that Marines are significantly more likely to engage in risky sexual behavior than members of other branches. Additional topics like binge drinking, tobacco use, physical well-being, and mental health were also explored in the report. Okay, now let me just say this about these reports. Okay, so this is a group of individuals, right, who gravitated to the Marine Corps. And I think all those things kind of form the basis of that group, right? They might be a little bit more outgoing, a little more prone to seek adventure, a little bit more up for a challenge, a little bit up to go out and go drinking and have a good time, probably. If you're going to do that, a little bit more up for unprotected sex, as stupid as that may sound, evidently. So, I mean, you can see there's a bit of a theme there. But I think it goes with door number four. Yeah, you can have the smart guy door. You can have the see the world door. You can have one of these other twos. This is pretty reasonable, you know, that you can do it, you know, and these guys are both ground combat organizations. This one's unreasonable. They're fanatical about their own images, and their boot camp's a little bit crazy. Unreasonable, I would call it. Which door do you want? Oh, I'll take four. Yeah, I mean, come on. And then it's like, oh, the people that went through the fourth door, they're binge drinking. Oh, there's a shocker. Okay. So, again, but it's what makes the Marine Corps great, and that is that group of DNA that goes through door four. Of the nearly 17,000 responses received from service members of all branches of the service and the Coast Guard, Marines led nearly every category of sexual risk behaviors and outcomes over the past year. I should laugh at it, but I'm sorry. Okay? More than 24% of Marines reported having sex with more than one partner over the course of the data collection process, compared to 16.6% of the Army, 18.8% in the Air Force, and 22.1% of the Navy. Double dogs were also topped when it came to having sex with a new partner without using a condom, with more than 40% of Marine respondents reporting having done so. Furthermore, 22% of Marines reported that their most recent vaginal sex encounter, that's the second time I've said vaginal on this program, was done without the woman being on any form of birth control, also the highest number compared to any service. How do you find that many women that aren't on birth control? So, okay, like, look, a guy's perspective is, if she's not on birth control, I'm gonna stop this train. This one, bro, sorry about that. So you have that going for you. And it's probably not gonna work out great. But how are women not on birth control? And why aren't they shutting it down? They're supposed to be the ones that are responsible in all this, not the guys. So anyway, for results dealing with the military as a whole, personnel from the E1 rank to the E4 rank and demographics were the most likely to engage in the aforementioned risky behaviors. Right? Young people, right? You've heard everybody who comes on the show agree with one statement. I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid. Broken down by male and female personnel, 19.2% of men reported having sex with more than one partner during the survey time period, compared with 20.6% of women. What? The women are having sex with more than partners than the men are? Whoa. Well, that's interesting. Results also showed that 37.6% of female service members had sex with a new partner without using a condom, while 36.5% of males reported doing so. Condom used during recent vaginal intercourse was reported by 23% of the men, compared to 17.9% of the women. So you can see we got issues, okay? There's the next class. Alright, this is how you put it on. Mandatory sexual training for Marines. Coming to a computer screen near you. Alright, top five stories in Early Bird, and then we'll take a break. F-18 man's here. He's fired up for the, F-18 man, he gets fired up. He's a big business, he's a tycoon. Yeah, he's a business owner. Momentum training. Catch the momentum. If you live in San Marcos, California, you should be a momentum person. Right? Catch the wave. Go to momentum. Yeah, I should write their slogans. Okay, top five stories in Early Bird. One, Iran readying massive military exercise in the Persian Gulf, officials say. Awesome. So, somebody send a memo to the Navy. If you get captured this time, do a little fighting before you go down. And somebody other than the girl ought to wanna resist. So, Iran's Navy going to exercise in the Straits of Hormuz. Number two, Congress finalizes a $17.7 billion defense budget authorization. With that's a few months ahead of schedule. Yeah. How about that? A few months ahead of schedule. Senators gave final approval to the annual defense authorization bill on Wednesday, sending the $717 billion package to the White House for signature. So congratulations. I always bag on them that they don't do their job. Well, they did it. And congratulations, boys and girls. Well done. The, all right, number three, DOD exempts wounded warriors from deploy or get out policy. you know, I told you that was coming. You know, all those people, whoa, what about? Take a breath, dial it back, it'll be okay. Number four, U.S.-led coalition sets to launch final fight against ISIS in Syria. ISIS is now down to a part in Iraq and in Syria. If you follow the Euphrates River out to the western side of the state towards Syria, which would ultimately lead you to Israel if you were headed that way, ISIS is out there. And so our support, Iraq is going to get after that and hopefully annihilate them. Not hopefully, they will annihilate them. So set your watch to it. Number five, here's why the Armed Forces Retirement Home is slowing down its planned fee hikes. Residents of the Armed Forces Retirement Home will have a temporary reprieve of proposed fee increase, which now will be phased in over 3 years. Let me just tell you this. If you're in a veteran's home, you got nothing, okay? It's not exactly the place where you want to be. But if you're indigent, you got no other resources, then that's where you go. So, anyway. So, yeah, and I actually, awesome. Don't raise what you're charging those guys and those girls. So, they're in tough straits. I'll take a break. Of Almarine Radio coming up next, on a, Thursday edition. Change of command day. So, Kurt Knowles, F-18 man, will join us. Don't touch that dial. More of this awesome program coming up next.